Yeah, but that's me from the southern hemisphere. Let's now go to the northern hemisphere. Very much at the coalface. We love having BBC Rugby League correspondent Dave Woods on the program. We're talking more than rugby league today. Good evening, your time. Dave, how are you doing?
Hello, Vossi. I'm very well, thank you. Hope you're well too.
Yeah, can I ask you, in general terms, just groundswell of opinion, because I'm reading from afar and some unrest, the opposition government now having a crack at Boris Johnson, the way things are progressing. Would you say the population, the majority, are comfortable with where you're at the moment, despite those numbers I've just quoted there on COVID?
I think generally, yes. So big events are attracting big crowds, and a lot of events you can only attend if you've had a couple of vaccines and you've got the proof. There's an NHS app that you can get now that shows that you have the two. So we've been to musical events recently where anyone who's had two jabs can go. But there is a kind of an underlying feeling, well, you know, as you said, the figures there are still quite high. There's less panic now. There's less concern now, but there is now a growing concern. So depending on which part of the UK you go to, you have different approaches. So in Scotland and Wales, it's a lot more stringent than it is in England. So if I go to the restaurant this evening, I'd walk into the restaurant and get a table with my wife, sit down, eat a meal and come out again. And probably 99% of the people there do not have a mask on at all at any point of that. In Scotland and Wales, if you go to a restaurant, you've got to have a mask on and you can't take that mask off until you're sat at your table. Same goes if you're going for the cinema or the theatre. In England, you just go, you choose whether you want to wear a mask or not. In Scotland and Wales, you have to wear a mask whilst you go to those public events. And I think there's a growing feeling in England now that maybe we should be doing that as well. We should be following the lead of what Scotland and Wales are doing.
And winter coming up as well. The impact of winter coming up. Yeah. Can I ask you from the sporting point of view, and we've got today, it's sparked big reaction from our listeners. So we've got the boss of the rugby league, Peter Vallandis, now sort of dropping his guard a little showing compassion for the unvaccinated and the rate of vaccination across sports. I mean, if a sport as huge as the EPL can be on the up and up in terms of vaccinated players, why not every sport? Well, are there any sports dragging the chain here in terms of vaccinated athletes?
No, I mean, specific when we're talking about rugby league, we've not had scrums this year, as you'll know, in the Super League, and that is a COVID issue. And the vote has been made by the Rules Committee to bring them back next year, but only as long as there are 85% of players who are vaccinated. And the sport is moving towards that. We've got some anti-vaxxers and some high-profile anti-vaxxers, but their voice is diminishing a little now from a practicality point of view as much as anything. So teams, for example, who are travelling to Europe, who are playing in Europe, if they've not been vaxxed, they go over there. When they come back, they've got to isolate for 5 days and then take a test. If you've been double vaxxed, you go, you come back. It's the same as it always used to be. So from that practical point of view, there's more of a persuasion for people to get vaxxed. There's no kind of there's no suggestion of doing what I think the AFL have done, which is to say you have to be vaxxed. There's no suggestion of that. It's more a peer pressure from within, and it's also a kind of a understanding the practicalities, so players are dropping. In various sports, players are dropping their kind of anti-vax stance, those who have them.
Okay, so Luke Thompson, who is an English international out here, made some headlines. He's saying he's not going to get vaxxed. There were reports in the Sunday papers that he didn't even want to wear a mask when they're up in Queensland, want to defy all rules. He would be welcomed back to the UK with open arms by a Super League club if he wasn't going to get vaccinated? Would that be just a green light?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I think there's a bit of a feeling over here that there's a bit of a spin on that story because his club might feel he's being overpaid at the moment and maybe want to get a player off a big contract. You know, I mean, that's a cynical view that people are taking over here. But yeah, I mean, if he came back to the UK, then he would be welcome back. He would be encouraged to get a vaccination because they are looking at that 85% in every club to be vaccinated. That's the kind of the herd immunity level. that's the kind of this artificial figure that somebody's decided that is where you're at with herd immunity within a group if 85% of those players are vaccinated. So I suspect St. Helens will be very close to that, if not beyond that now. So if he came back to St. Helens, or if he came back to any particular Super League club, I think he'd be very much welcome back, because his form before he went, you know, just on form alone, he was a fantastic player, you know, a very, very modern prop. Whether he's made that impact in the NRL is questionable, but certainly over here, he was fantastic.
All right, Dave Woods, BBC Rugby League correspondent, on the ground in the UK, talking all things this morning. I do want to get you across to the EPL yesterday. That stunning result, like fans walking out of Old Trafford at halftime as they trailed 4-0 to Liverpool. Can you give me an example of what the newspapers did today, ripping to shreds Man U and their manager?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been under more and more pressure in this last few weeks. You know, there was a kind of a feeling amongst Manchester United fans, let's wait and see. And, you know, though I think there was a fair degree of optimism. And the signing of Ronaldo, for example, rather boosted that. But people are now looking very differently at this, as you can imagine. But the overriding feature here is the hangover that Sir Alex Ferguson has left. I was reading a stat today that it's 7 years since he stood down as the United manager. In that time, they've spent £1 billion. That's with a B, not an M, a B, a billion. £1 billion on players. You know, that's the state of the economy in the EPL at the moment. And they have, by their own very, very high standards, underachieved since Ferguson left. But there is a feeling that Sir Alex still has a kind of a behind-the-scenes pressure to perform there at Old Trafford, that he is a voice behind the scenes, and maybe United need to get rid of that, and no manager is going to properly succeed at Old Trafford until that happens. And you look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I mean, he's a very popular guy. You know, United fans maybe are split when he was appointed, but he's one of the greats of the past. He was a very well-loved player as a United player. If that hadn't been the case, would he have got the job? You know, he underachieved at Cardiff City. He's done a couple of good jobs in Norway. But did he really have the pedigree to be a United player, a United manager, had he not been a United player? So that is now being examined. And I think, you know, you'd be very surprised if he kept that job for any length of time going forward now.
Oh, man, another result like that at home. Absolutely, Gonski. Now, one last one, Dave. And we've run the story this morning about a poll over there in the UK talking about sexy accents across the UK. And I say I'm surprised. The Scottish accent was voted the most sexy accent. Your reaction to that, Dave? Has it caused much of a kerfuffle?
I've not seen that poll, but I do know that a lot of the call centres like to employ Scottish-accented people because it's very often seen as the most trustworthy accent. You know, if somebody is telling you something, delivering you financial information, if that comes with a Scottish accent, then there's a feeling that we can trust that. That's the kind of stereotype that's built up. Whether it's sexy, you know, I suspect you would find a Yorkshire accent, especially a Halifax accent, very, very sexy,
yes, yes.
Especially if they were delivering you a meat pie and a bit of gravy on top.
Yeah, but, oh, you got me. You've got me. You've picked me in one. Oh, hello, love. How you going? You want a pie? Oh, bloody ortho do. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, that's beautiful stuff. That's interesting. The Scottish accent, trustworthy. There you go. You have to get Billy Connolly on, saying, call me now. Dave Woods, BBC Rugby League correspondent. It's always great to chat with you. Fascinating insight there into Man U and other things as well, mate. Keep well, my friend.
Cheers, Vossi. All the best. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah, oh, well, we would have been calling rugby league right now at the World Cup. There we go. Disappointing. You have your say on that. 1-300-01-1170, text 0457-736-736. The no scrum point raised a reaction straight away. Kev from Camden wasn't aware. Vossie, no scrums in the Super League as a COVID issue, so blokes can get hot and sweaty, run into each other, and be wrestled to the ground by three or four other sweaty blokes for 80 minutes, and that's safe. But scrums could cause an outbreak. That's science. Yes, Kev, that has been the way. Health advice. 19 and a half after 7. Michael Carianis from The Telegraph coming up. More on Norm Proven and the grandstand at Cogra.